Well, in James 1 and verse 12. There's one word in James that we come on here. We'll look at it and expound on this little word, hypomone, a little bit. Makarios.
Makarios.
Aner.
Aner.
Hos.
Hos.
Hypomone.
Hypomone.
Perosmon.
Perosmon.
Hote.
Hote.
Dokimos.
Dokimos.
Genomenos.
Genomenos.
Lampsete.
Tone.
Stephanon. Pace. Zoes. Hon.
Epi.
Angelato.
Epi. Angelato.
Tois.
Agaposum.
All right. Brother Harold, have you got that in your New American Standard?
Yes,
read that to
us.
We're 1 in verse 12.
All right. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
All right. Now let's go and look at some of this. Now, this crown, you know, we don't earn our salvation at all. But when you are saved, and what you do for the Lord will reward you for it. You get rewards. And there are many kinds of rewards. There are many books. There are books, what we call the Book of the Living. All right. The Book of the Dead. All right. The dead, you know. The Book of Life. All of these different things. And when we come before the Lord, if we are built on the right foundation, we will receive rewards. And some will rule and reign with Him forever and ever. Now, in humility, we should not be looking for our crowns and looking for our glories with Him. We will get that. Many times in this life, the praise and the honor that we get here, maybe that's all we'll get. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The Word of God says that. Jesus said that. And I have just absolutely, that has been ringing through my ears all of my Christian life. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. There's something to that. Now, Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is very close to what we have here. Matthew, the 5th chapter. It talks about blessed, you know, the Beatitudes. Now, blessed, all right, or happy, is the man who remains under trial. Hypomone. I used to be able to remember names and things a lot better than I do today. In Argentina, there was a man one time that wanted to ride horseback all the way to Washington, D.C. And he did. He picked out two wild horses down in that area that an Indian chief had. And one was 15 years old and one was 16 years old. Now, these were not young horses. But they were experienced horses. They were experienced on trail.
This?
What?
Where was this?
He was in Argentina. Way down in Argentina. He rode those horses through mountain trails, across swinging bridges, quicksand, alligator-infested rivers, everything you could think of, all the way to Washington, D.C. One time especially, he was going to cross this river. And it was shallow in this one place, so he started to go across the river. And the horse that he rode most of the time would not go at all. He just stood and started bucking. He said, well, this wasn't like it. He said, then an Indian ran down there and he said, don't go here. Don't go here. And he showed him that it was quicksand. So he began to trust his horses and trust them. And one horse was the leader and the other horse was the follower. Now, he'd ride them both. But when it came to very, very dangerous areas, he would always either lead the one horse and the other horse would stand back and watch. One time he was going across a swinging bridge and it was like 1,500-foot gorge down below. And they have things like that down in South America. Well, he got the one horse and he led it out there, and they got right in the middle of the bridge, and the wind started blowing, the bridge was swaying like this back and forth, and he said if that horse gets scared and jumps, we're dead. He said that horse stood right there and never moved a muscle until that bridge quit swinging, and then they walked on across. One of the horses' name was Gato, that I remember. Anyway, when the other horse saw him walk across there, the other one just walked right out there and walked right across there. He rode the horses all the way into Washington, D.C. And when they got into Washington, D.C., they wanted to take them and put them in a park or put them on easy living for the rest of their lives. And he said, oh, no. These horses, you put them in there, they'll go and get depressed and they'll just die. He said, I'm going to take them all the way back down to South America and I'm going to turn them loose and give them back to the Indian where they came from, and they're going to live wild, out in the wild. They rode them 10,000 miles.
Round trip.
One way. 10,000 miles, one way. Long trip. He went through some tremendous, crossed the Panama, you know, where the Panama Canal, he came through. He did this in 1925. Now, as the one horse led out, and then the other one would follow behind, our Lord has already been this road all the way here. All we have to do is step in His footsteps where He has been. Happy is the man that remains under trial. We have trials. What kind of trials can a man have in his life?
Financial,
all right. There's, you know, money means a lot to us, doesn't it? Because of money, we have a car to drive. Because of money, we have a roof over our head, and we have food on our table. And some of the luxuries of life, even sometimes. Money is very important. So if a man is poor, he can be financially depressed. How about if a man is very wealthy? Can that be a problem?
Very much.
Sure can. Both ways, both ends of the street are rocky ground. How about
marital
problems? Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. It takes two people to tango. And I the most important thing you can do in life is find the right mate.
Yeah.
It's very important. And take a lot of time to do it if you need.
30 or 40 years ain't too early.
Yeah. That can hurt you. A wife can either make a man or break him.
Amen.
And the same thing, but vice versa. Addictions. What kind of addictions are there in the world?
Many.
Let's name some. All right.
Food.
Yeah. There are people having operations all the time because they have addictions to food. The wrong kinds of food. People die every day in America because we have access to too much junk food. Can you be addicted to that? Can it hurt you? Sure it can. People have operations and everything because of that. Because they need help. Sexual addictions. And how about drugs and alcohol? That's a real problem, isn't it? Real problem. Now, I can say drugs to some of you and that wouldn't bother you at all. But money might. Gambling. These are all problems. Risks. Ooh, yeah. Risks. People like to take risks, don't they? People live. How many people like to ride roller coasters? I want to tell you something. I didn't lose anything up one of those things.
Neither did I.
I mean, I have no use for that. But people want thrills in this life. Thrills.
Risk taker.
Yeah. Well, these things are the things we have. Now, Moderation is a very important thing in life, isn't it? Moderation. Blessed is a man who remains under the strain. Hypo mone. Hypo is under, and mano is the two words that come from to remain under the strain. Now, I preached this 35 years ago. I have changed.
Didn't Paul use this word in Colossians?
He used it. Many New Testament writers used it. Remaining under the strain. Sometimes it's really hard to remain under the strain. You go through trials and troubles of life, and you remain under the strain. The devil has more tactics than there are in a textbook trying to work you over. He really does. Always trying to come in the back door. Well, this means more to me now than it did 30 or 35 years ago, because I've been through a lot of trials. I know what hypomone is. We experience it, don't we? Remaining under trials, paterosmo, because approved, dokimos. This word dokimos, that's a beautiful word. Now, we've looked at it, talked about it before. This word means examined by trial. This word means to be approved. And you write this one down. This means certified. Certified.
Approved.
Approved, but it means certified, and it means absolutely stamped with approval. This is what you call your proof stamp. On all old guns, when smokeless powder came out, old guns that they built at that period of time for smokeless powder, they had to have a proof mark on them, be stamped. They had to be approved. Someplace they had to have, because it would remain under the pressure. Smokeless powder, I mean, the old black powder went boom real fast, and the powder just popped. But smokeless powder is progressively, as it blows up, and then the power just keeps going. It just keeps getting stronger and stronger as it goes all the way out the barrel. It increases in pressure. I remember one time I shot this gun. And I experienced what smokeless powder really does. Now, you haven't seen this. Some of you have, some of you haven't. I have a gun that blew up in my hand. It cut my guitar playing short for a long time, almost blew that finger off. It's a wonder I didn't die. The gun blew up. It had an overload of smokeless powder in it. It was a black powder gun. I mean to tell you, the barrel, Bill, you've seen that gun, haven't you? It's just in pieces. The stock is just blown to little splinters. I have little pieces of that gun in me still. Little bitty pieces. Anyway, it just went every way. One half of the barrel cut a 2x8 in two. One of them blew a door off the hinges. And I was standing right in the middle of all of it. The angels were busy. That's all I can say. They were busy. I had to preach here tonight. We go through different trials and things in life. Sometimes the trials we are deadly trials. You ever get a near miss? You did here a while back, Harold. I didn't know whether I'd be here today. I have a lot of trouble out on the farm with hornets and wasps. I've had everything you can think of out there, and I've got an overload of them. And I'm always out there spraying them, trying to do something with them. Well, today, the other day I sprayed them just before the class and got it in my eyes and couldn't hardly see. It filtered back down in my eyes. Well, I made it last week with my eyes burning and everything was burning my eyes. Didn't get very much in there, but enough to bother me. It burned for 2 or 3 days. And then today I sprayed it into this wall where they were. I saw where they were going in this wall, so I sprayed a bunch of it in there. Then I went into the building where I had sprayed into the wall. Well, that fumes had... I mean, this stuff is not supposed to hurt you. But it hit me and I went into an asthma attack. And I didn't know whether I could even... I could hardly breathe. I thought I had an elephant on my chest. Couldn't breathe. That was quite a trial. That's a trial. Health is a trial. Especially when you get geriatric. You know what geriatric is?
Old.
That's old, you know. When you need a lot of geritol. Well, it's a little harder to serve the Lord then than it is when you're younger. Wally was telling me the other day, he said, now that I'm 80-something years old, he said, the things that used to really I like to do, I don't care anything about. It's too much work. Too hard on me. Too hard on my knees. Too hard on this or that or whatever. It becomes hard just to walk across the house.
You remember that old song, Trials Dark on Every Hand and I Cannot Understand?
Yeah.
All the way that God doth lead us to His blessed promised land.
I tell you what, all of these aches and pains and things that you have just make you, it should make you want to see the pearly gates a little better. It prepares you. Approved. That means examine and certify. Stamped with approval. When you go through trials and you make it, I remember when my little girl was being abused so badly by her natural mother. It was just killing me. I was just having a terrible time with this. I had one woman in this church, she said, I tell you what, I don't know how in the world you stand it. She said, if that was my little girl, I'd tell God, if you don't straighten this thing out, I ain't going to church no more. And so you do. I said, where else is there? Where else do you go? She said, I would stop going to church and, Lord, when you get this matter straightened out, I'll be back.
You don't bargain with God.
No, you don't bargain with God. I tell you what, about kill the people and everything else, thought about it a lot of times. I just kept trusting the Lord. Sometimes I think I made a mistake, but it was hard trial. Hard trial. Still is. We go through trials. Approved. Examined and certified. Boy, I tell you what.
That word again?
Dokimos. That's beautiful. Dokimos. Certified. Stamped with certification, a proof mark. All gold and silver has a proof mark on it. 14 carats, sterling silver, or whatever.
You pay off the loan, they stamp a proof mark on that one, too.
Mm-hmm. Approved. Paid in full. When we make it through these trials, we look back. The Lord knows us, doesn't He? He knows eternity from eternity as we look at this chart. He knows these things. But who gets the confidence out of being approved? Us and the people around us. We are witnesses to others. Approval. When we go to church, being faithful, that is, and people see us go through trials and we're still faithful. And they said, I want to be like that. I remember when I did Levi Montragon's funeral. At the funeral, people were saved. At the funeral, when I finished speaking, I walked down and sat on the front row and a man walked forward and he said, I want to join this church. I want to be baptized. I want to leave Catholicism behind. I want to follow my Lord like my brother did. Boy, talk about a proof mark. Now, who's that proof mark for? Levi's there. That proof mark's for us. Proof mark for us. I want to be like my brother. That's good. Having become approved, ye shall receive. Now, look at this. Third person singular, future indicative. Act. Ye shall receive the crown of the life, which he promised to the ones loving. He promised. This word apangelia, this is like the gospel. He promised. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of the promise that God made way back here in the garden in Genesis, the third chapter, that we would overcome, the race of the woman would overcome by her child. That child has been born. For thousands of years, they looked forward to this child, didn't they? We look back 2,000 years ago. And we look back to see what God did when God came to earth for us. And we can walk in His footsteps. Like the one horse followed the other horse. Walking in their footsteps. Because it's been done. And this life has been overcome. Adam, when he was in the Garden of Eden, Garden East, in the east of the earth, as it says in Hebrew, it was a garden planted by God. Just think about it. That garden was planted by God. Now, what kind of a garden do you think he had, Marilyn? A beautiful garden. All right. I have seen pictures of gardens that my wife did when she was younger. She loved to plant gardens. She still does. But her gardens looked like the Baha'i Gardens or something. You know, have you ever seen the Baha'i Gardens over there in Tel Aviv? Manicured gardens like you cannot believe, like in the Washington, D.C.'s garden. Everything was out there. She had all kinds of fruits and vegetables and things out there, and flowers planted in between the rows and just beautiful little things. This was a show place. This was her little world that she had. Well, God planted this garden. And God planted, put man in the garden and gave him the garden. God planted it and God gave it to man. And said, now, what do you do? What's he supposed to do with it? Guard it. The word in Greek is terrain. All right? To guard with your life. All right? In Matthew 28:18-20, when he talked to the church there and told the church to go out and make disciples and teach them the things that I've taught you and tell them to guard them with their lives. The word of God that we're teaching tonight, we're to guard with their lives. That's what we're supposed to do. Adam was supposed to guard the garden. It was already done. It was manicured. It was beautiful. And he was supposed to guard that garden. And God gave him a mate. And he was supposed to guard her too. Well, man didn't do a very good job. Because he let sin slip in, didn't he? He let sin slip in. Well, God made a promise right there and then that I will come and I will do it. All of the Old Testament, if you look at the tabernacle, look at all the offerings in here, every offering in the tabernacle and every piece of furniture in it typified what?
Christ.
And secondarily, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the type. That tabernacle is a type of the church in the church age. Also. But everything there typified Christ. Everything did. Wood. Every material. Wood was his humanity. Gold was his divinity. Silver was redemption. Brass was judgment. White was the purity and righteousness. Black was the sin that was laid upon him. Red was his blood that he would shed. Purple was his heavenly location where he came from. All of this we see in Christ coming down to walk for us. Adam, the first Adam in the garden, failed under the most wonderful conditions. Now, when the second Adam came, we had the first Adam, we had the second Adam. When Jesus started his ministry, what was the first thing happened to him? Adam was in the garden, made by God. The second Adam was in the wilderness. In the absolute, worse than the Mojave Desert. It's terrible out there in the wilderness where he was, in the desolate wilderness where he was. And he didn't have anything to eat either. What did Adam have? Every fruit he wanted in the garden. Already planted by God, created by God. What did Jesus have, the second Adam? Nada. Not a thing. Nothing. Not a drink of water, not a drop of water, not a crumb of bread. And the devil tempted him, didn't he? Turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live alone by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. And what he's saying there, listen to me, devil, because I am the Word. He tempted him. He said, look at all the kings of the world. Pride. How was Adam tempted? Adam tempted and Eve tempted? The lust of the flesh and pride and greed. All the things that were still... If you take all of the sins that we commit, just lump them right up there is where they come from. Exactly the way Adam was tempted and the way that, Adam, that our second Adam was tempted, Jesus Christ. But how did he do there, Brother Bill? How'd the old boy do? Huh? He did pretty good, didn't he? He made it through all of it. All the way through the cross, didn't he? All through the temptation. Would you have lost your temper just once or twice with them Pharisees? I'd have killed every one of them. Right on the spot. I'd have turned them into pillars of salt or something. But he waited. He let them crucify him. What? And the God of glory did this. Approved. Adam was in the garden, the paradise, planted by God. And the second Adam was in the worst miserable conditions that you could ever think of. And he made it. 113. Maydays. Teraz Zemanos. Legeto. Hote. Apo. Thiu. Teraz Mai. Parazome, that is. Ho. Gar. Theos. Aperastos. Espin. Kakol. Parase. De. Altos. Udina. Let's look at this one now. No one being tempted, let him say that from God I am tempted. Now what about Genesis, the 22nd chapter? Where God tested Abraham. Did God tempt Abraham? No, he didn't tempt him. He tested him. When we are tempted, where does the temptation come from? From Adam. God doesn't put that in you. Man is triune, isn't he? Just like God. You are body, you are mind, and you are spirit. All right? Body, mind, soul. Mind and soul is the same location. And spirit. Well, when you're born again, the Spirit of God indwells you like He did every time any man was ever saved in all of history. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit didn't start on the day of Pentecost. That was the Shekinah glory came upon God's church, and He baptized that church in His Spirit. That is different than being saved. Salvation and church membership are not the same thing. Yes, brother?
I've read two kind of two views on the Holy Spirit being in you. And does the word there in the Greek end, does it mean in relation or does it mean spatial?
All right.
I've read two.
Yeah, there are different people. Many people think that in the Old Testament, that when a person was saved, he was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that he was only led by the Holy Spirit at different times.
That's not true.
Yeah. All right. When a person is saved, well, when you're born, okay, let's get back to that for a period of time. When you're born, now here's your mind or soul, okay, and here is your spirit, and here is your body. Now, your body, who do you get that from?
Your father and mother.
Father and mother. All right. And how about your spirit? This life that's in you. Now, the life that you have in you when you're born is a dying life. It's terminal. All right? It's terminal. It's a dying life. It's a life that is bent on what? Death. You're born to die. Okay? This is that spirit that's in you, the spirit of disobedience. The spirit of disobedience. The spirit that is leading you astray. And our mind is greatly affected, our soul is greatly affected by that, isn't it? But when you're born again, what happens? God replaces and X's out that spirit, and He puts His spirit in you. Okay? And that is the guarantee of redemption.
Yeah, but when we talk about spirit in you, do they mean in spatial locality, or does the Greek word in mean in relation?
In entity. Now, to be you, what is your name, brother?
Kevin.
To be Kevin, you're not just a body. You're not just a soul, and you're not just a spirit. Okay? How many of them does it take to make you? All of them. Now that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, He is not three gods, and you're not three things, but these three things make up one entity, doesn't it? All right? Now that spirit in you makes you a whole person, because you wouldn't be a person, an entity, without it, would you?
Three Christ in creation.
What? Yeah, Christ in creation by J. Lewis Gusser. Boy, that's beautiful. That really tells it. Well, this spirit, God, when you're born again, now everybody from all the way in eternity past, not eternity past, but in all the way back to the garden, all the way through time, former time, everybody that was ever saved in the Old Testament was saved the same way you are. They were looking forward to the redemption of God. We look back to the redemption of God. But every time they were saved, in that entity, in that person, came the Spirit of God. And when that Spirit of God comes in your life, you are not the same. That Spirit of God, Ephesians 1, is that which seals you forever. Live, a living being. Alright? A living being. This one seals you to death. This one seals you to eternal life. Now, we all die, don't we? And the body dies, but that's the body. When we die, our body goes to the ground, or to some tomb, or burned up, or something, okay? Throw it out in the sea, in the rivers, or whatever they have done with bodies today. But that don't matter at all. Now, when you die, where does your spirit go?
To
God. Where does your soul go? Either to paradise or to Hades, one or the other. Okay? Hold on just a minute. You either go to... Now, you're a triune person. So in death, there is a separation in there. There is a definite separation. On the cross of Calvary, who died on the cross of Calvary?
Jesus Christ.
Did the Father taste death? Of course He had to. How about the Holy Spirit? Yes, He had to experience it. Now, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Brother?
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Jesus said He'd raise the temple of His own.
That's right. Again. When God puts us together, we're going to be whole in the end. That body, wherever, whatever they do with your body, God is going to call those molecules back together, and they come back together, and you will be body and soul and spirit again. And that spirit that was born in you and part of an entity that would be forever identifiable. Forever identifiable is there for to say yes.
Well, here's one thing I need clarifying with. You're saying that I thought that the soul and the spirit were the same. And the reason I thought that is because James 2:26, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the situation where the soul comes back into the widow's son's body, mm-hmm, in 1 Kings chapter 17, and then in you have the soul coming back, and then you have the soul departing. I believe it's Genesis 35 from Rachel when she dies. So the soul and the spirit,
they depart from the body.
Right, yeah. But the way you have it up there, are they the same? They're not the same entity, but are they still the soul and the spirit, both the non-material nature? Maybe I'm not asking the question right. I'm trying to get clarified.
Okay.
There.
All right, here you have the soul and the mind. Okay? Mm-hmm. The soul and the mind goes to paradise. Okay? Now the spirit, it's God, but it is, when you are saved, you are part of God. You understand?
Right.
God is in you. You are part of Him. He is part of you. And that forever is identifiable and marked. Okay? That soul that is in you at that time is going to come back to this body and going to resurrect that body, because that is, it is certified, it is identified as part of you. And then all of that comes back together. Now this is one entity. Alright? This is one personality that is forever together. All right.
Isn't the soul and the mind, is that's your intellect?
That's your intellect. That's
what makes you.
Your intellect and your soul are basically, they work together.
That's what makes you distinguishable.
Yes.
In your personality,
mm-hmm,
your body is distinguishable in flesh.
Yes.
And your soul is.
We see people, and when you see somebody, you can identify them by the person, but you can also identify them by their speech and by their thinking. Have you ever seen a child think or talk like his mother or father? And you say, I know that. Have you ever seen a person? This happens to me a lot of times. I have gone into places, been away for a while, and going to a place. I went out there in the Taft area in Valley Acres one time. I walked into this grocery store there, and I looked at this young girl. I said, man, alive. That looks like my cousin. Long lost cousin by marriage. I said, man, I grew up with a girl that looked just like you. And she said, what was her name? I said, Ma Watson. I said, Wanda. And she said, that's my mom. Never had seen her since she was a baby. She looked just like her mom. Just exactly like. I couldn't believe it. You see, people like that. But you know what? In spirit, can you identify a spirit? You know what I mean? Soul? Can you identify that too? Do they act like the person? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go on.
Are we saying they're the same then?
No. The spirit.
They both depart.
The spirit is life. That thing which makes life. Okay? Even in a lost person's spirit, when that spirit departs their body, they are dead.
Right.
But the soul also departs with it. Separately. All right?
All
right.
Oh.
You understand? Because it's... And
so the soul contains the will, the emotions, and the intellect.
Yes. The spirit is life.
But do they both go back to God?
Well, the spirit of disobedience belonging to disobedience. Let's think about that one. I don't understand it, but I know about this. As some preachers I've heard them say, I know a little bit about it, but I don't understand everything about it. But that spirit is the spirit of disobedience. That spirit will forever be that body of a lost person is going to be resurrected with that spirit in it. And that spirit is going to be thrown into hell. Now, how about Satan? Is Satan spirit? He's angel, he's spirit, isn't he?
Yes.
Alright? But that spirit in him, will it be in hell forever? It sure will. There, that's all I can tell you about that. Now, this is deep stuff. We got off into a beast back then.
Sorry about that. I just got a...
That's all right. Yep. Sister Andino.
Then when we say that our loved ones, they are in heaven because they died,
yep,
mm-hmm, so we are talking about the spirit of...
Well, their soul. Their soul is.
Soul
It's with God. The souls of those under the altar in heaven in the book of Revelation that we talk on Sunday morning are crying out for what? They're communicating. In heaven, even today, people know each other, don't they? So a soul must have some form like the body. Yeah. So I don't... Can a soul be thirsty? Evidently. Can it be hungry? Evidently. Can it feel heat?
Oh, yes.
Can it feel cold? Yeah. Can it feel comfort? Yes. I don't understand all about that. I just can't get it all out.
I haven't completely clarified it either. I've got some of it, but I know what you mean, Revelation 6:10.
Yeah.
But the body is not resurrected until Christ, until the ascension, until the saints.
We have some that were resurrected here. Maybe all of them in the Old Testament. I don't know. We have evidence of many saints being resurrected and walking around, and then evidently were taken up to heaven. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but I think he had to die again. All right? Now, even same thing as the widow's son in the Old Testament time. Now, all during this church age now, all the people that are saved here, there's a resurrection here. All right? And then at the end, there's a resurrection of all the lost. That dead spirit will be put back in that dead body and that dead mind. Now they will know, and they will be known. This is a terrible thing. And they're going to be thrown in like, and they will be in hell like asbestos. They will not disappear. They will just keep on being there forever and ever and never vanish. Hell is eon, just like eternal life is. Yes.
Yeah, like we have Luke, the situation in Luke 16, is that, because that would be before the first resurrection, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, is this just the spirit and the soul in the hell side of the Hadean world? Maybe I'm done.
Soul.
So it's not the physical body, but the spirit is that which gives life.
So the spirit is not there. Okay? When God puts that spirit of the lost man back together, the body lives. It lives in its degenerated state forever with all the disease and everything, but it just keeps on lasting. That's a horrible reason not to go to hell. I mean, it's a reason not to want to go to hell. Just thinking about that, maybe if people realized what they're going to be if they leave this world without Christ, that's a scary situation.
Yeah. Is the since this is before the first resurrection?
It's before the resurrection.
Luke 16.
Yeah.
Is that actually that's just the soul there, but not with the body? But they're describing it. And I guess what you'd
the soul is
anthropomorphism?
Yeah, yes, it's talking about thirsting, hungering, all this kind of stuff.
But would only be the soul, but it wouldn't be the body. But
the body is not there.
Anthropomorphic
term. Yeah, the body is not there, but the soul experienced those things, and the soul can be recognized.
Yeah, it's an anthropomorphic term.
It is before. These people have not been resurrected out of hell, out of Hades, literally, and thrown into hell with their resurrected, non-glorified bodies, but asbestos-type bodies. That body which will never be destructed. Okay? Let's go on verse 13. No one being tempted, let him say he's tempted from God. It didn't come from God. You're tempted from your own being. Right here, in your own mind. Alright? For the God, not able to tempt, he is of evil. Tempts he anyone. Alright? Kakon there, that word evil there, that's bad. That's Adamic. That which is in your mind is Adamic. You inherited that from your father Adam when he sinned. Then we have the Adamic nature. That Adamic nature is kakos. Write that down. That's Adamic nature. kakos is. Ponerios is practiced evil. That's where we get our word pornography. This is where prostitution is. This is where everything that is good is twisted and made to be bad. Yes.
Was that Adamic what?
Adamic. This is Adamic bad or Adamic evil.
Kakos.
Kakos. Kakos. All right? That's Adamic. That's Adamic. That's natural Adamic. We are tempted from our Adamic nature, not from God. Okay?
So evil here doesn't mean the devil.
No, it's not the devil. It's from our nature. It's from us. It comes from within us, from within our mind, from within our lost nature, within the nature of the flesh. All right? Nature of the flesh. Now, when a person is born again, you have power to subdue the flesh. Don't we? Subdue that spirit of that spirit that controlled us at one time is not controlling us anymore. The appetite is still there, but not the control. All right? 1:14. Struggling along here. Hikostos. De parazete hippo pace idios epithemios ex el colminos chi de leozonominos. Each one is tempted. Present indicative, actually.
Middle or passive, I believe it is the middle voice here. Write that down somewhat.
So each one is tempted automatically. Now you have automatic dishwashers and you have automatic dryers and automatic washing machines. You just turn the thing on. Well, once Adam turned it on, it just keeps on working. Like that battery. All right? It has kept on tempting mankind all the way through. Each one is tempted for himself by the own epithemios. We get a word thermos from this word. Epithemios means that which your mind is constantly on. Is that the temptation that you have, is what your mind runs with? That what your mind is held on? That's what tempts you. That's what you think about a lot. That's what the temptation is. All right? And then it's lust, it's craving, it's what you have upon your mind, being drawn out, run down like a dog on a trail of an animal. We go out fishing when we can, and if you pull your line in, you will many times see, you might have caught a fish, but then you'll see a bigger fish following that fish. It's on its trail. It's on its scent trail. It smells the blood, and it's after it. The other day I was out fishing, and we got into what we call blue rockfish. And we were running about 100 feet deep. Well, where there are blues, there's also what we call lean cod, and those are little rascals that eat anything they want. A guy told me he went up to the aquarium up there in, what was that place we went up there in? Monterey.
Monterey.
Went up to the aquarium in Monterey, and he says, they had sharks with other fish, they had this fish with that fish, but out there where the lean cods were, there was a moray eel and a lean cod. Two of the baddest creatures in the ocean, you know. And they were together, and that was it. Standing each other off. Well, the other day I caught hooked two blues. You can kind of feel it when you're on if you've done it enough time. And I had a 50, 60, 70 pound test line. My pole bent over a little bit, and I started pulling it in, and all of a sudden it went the other direction. I knew exactly what happened. A lean cod showed up on the scene and swallowed one of them and took off with it. And he was going with it, and the line was just rolling out like that. So I said, well, I'm going to turn him around. I went like this, and that line goes, ping, boy. He bit it right in two. And I rolled it up, and the hook for the one blue was bit off. And the other blue was still on there. Well, that lean cod had a meal. But he was gone.
Might have been a shark.
Well, it could have been a shark, but there's usually a lingcod down there. It could have been a shark. But the lingcod have teeth that are sharp enough to cut a line. How many times have you seen them cut the line right at the boat?
Several.
I have them a lot of times. We're not tempted by God. We're tempted by our own lust. God can't be tempted by evil. And then it says, but each one is tempted by the agency of his own. The word idios there, we get our word idiot from it. When somebody goes around talking to themselves all the time, they used to say the person was an idiot. Now I think he's got a lot of problems.
Must be an idiot.
Well, that's what they use. That's where the word idiot comes from. He's talking to himself all the time. But yeah, how many have you ever gone into a restaurant and somebody's sitting over there talking to themselves, or three or four people? They weren't there. He says, don't you know this? Yes, sir, you better believe that. And all I used to go down here, down on Rosedale Highway, and remember the guy that would be down there talking to all these people? Mom? We used to go 10, 15, 20 years ago. Anyway, we'd go down the Rosedale Highway to that Carl Jr. or whatever. This guy would be sitting there holding on conversations with all these people. They weren't there. But he was talking. That's where we get the word idiot. Idios, or idiot from. All right? Lust, being drawn out and then baited. That word, delezomenos. That's baited. What do you? My wife said the other day when we were going out fishing, she finally looked up at me and she said, you know what we are? We're a bunch of deceivers. We're deceiving those guys. We're baiting these fish down there and catching these fish. Yep, that's what a fisherman is. You deceive the fish. A lot of people use lures. How are we deceived? How are we tempted? By the lures that are built in. Built in lures. That's how it happens. We're hunted down. We're caught by bait. We're snared. We're fished by our own lust. You know, when we're lured, we're baited by our own sinful pleasures. That's what we're baited by. You know, James just thrashes you, doesn't he? Brother Mike's not here tonight. You know, he's the cause of me preaching from this book. We ought to thank him or else get mad at him, one or the other. I don't know which one it is. What is the day? Is it the 16th?
Yes.
Thank you for your endurance of those hard seats. And our right when the class got over is when the air conditioner went off, so I guess they're telling us to go home. Yeah. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your questions. And I hope the class is... I'm trying to teach you more than just Greek.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. We're trying to learn the Word of God in a way that you just can't read it from English. We read it, and I have... different ones read the Bible. I want you to be able to compare it and see what it says. Just compare it. I think we're explaining it just a little better than any English translation can do it. Just a little bit better. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world and go out and do something eternal this week.